Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Knox, and I'm joined by the lead editor on all podcast episodes, Jason Waterfalls. Jason, do you want to tell everyone you're welcome for all the awesome editing you do every single week?
Listen, it's a team. It's a team effort, okay? You still are a part of this, and I don't want that to be overlooked.
That was a setup for you to spike, and you just completely whiffed. You should be like, yeah, you're welcome, dummies. And maybe I'll be back next week. Maybe I won't, but who knows?
You know me, always whiffing on being a teammate, you know.
Well, more than telling you you're welcome for all the awesome editing that he does every single week, we're here to introduce a recent episode from the Over Underachievers, a podcast we do together here within the PMG family. The Over Underachievers is a grab bag show where Jason and I talk about parenting, marriage, pop culture, sports. And if you enjoy what we do here on the podcast feed, you will for sure enjoy episodes of the Over Underachievers. For this specific episode and what you're about to listen to, Jason and I have a conversation about parenting in the format of the NCAA tournament seeding style, like the one seeds of parenting, the five seeds, the 16 seeds. And we also talk through a Shark Tank idea that isn't really a great idea, but it just has a name that we really, really like. So be sure to search for Over Underachievers wherever you listen to podcasts. And without further ado, please enjoy this episode entitled Squeal Team 6. Hello and welcome to the Over Underachievers. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy. Join me as always, heading to the Jets, probably, I think, maybe. It's just the Waterfalls. Jets, huh?
Yeah, you know,
good stuff.
Is this an Aaron Rodgers podcast? I mean, it basically is at this point.
I'm so glad to be with you today, and I'm so glad people are listening because we are going to do wall-to-wall 120 minutes of Aaron Rodgers talk. I can't get enough of it.
I can't begin to tell you how we're not, but I didn't see this coming. I didn't see him being like, I already told them last week, I want to go to the Jets. I'm good with the trade there. They can't figure it out. So I don't know. It's crazy, right?
I tweeted this the other day and I was like, because evidently there's some Real Housewives scandal going on that I just refuse to engage with. I'm like, I don't know about this. And
is this the Vanderpump situation?
Could be, Jason. I don't know. Okay. And you're not gonna lure me in like with your casual knowledge about it.
Did you hear what happened
in it? I'm not doing this.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea what it is, but it's all over my Google. Everybody's timeline.
My Google News, and it's like, did you see what this happened? I was like, I don't have any knowledge of this. I was like, honestly, that's so stupid. And that's such a stupid thing to like spend your time doing. Meanwhile, I'm just reading everything about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and like, do they secretly hate each other? And I realize I'm a hypocrite because I'm doing the Real Housewives of like Green Bay quarterbacks, you know, with Aaron Rodgers this whole time. I'm just sick of them. I am. I really am sick of them. Jason, how we doing, man? Like, what's good?
Doing well. You know, just the world's even as gamblers still. We have our down weeks and then we have our up weeks and then it just evens out. I mean, I got to tell you, I might go pretty hard on this tournament. I might go pretty hard. Guess how much college basketball I've watched all year?
Okay. In terms of like on a scale of 1 to 25.
You can do minutes if you want.
Oh, minutes per week that you've watched over the course. I'm gonna say 3.5. 3.5.
That's correct. It's a push.
Man, I tuned in and I was like, is Duke good? Duke is good. They're not good, but they won. Oh, what? What's going on? That's the extent of my knowledge.
I thought they weren't good, and then they won the freaking conference. Like this. I don't understand what's going on in college basketball, but I'm very excited for the tournament. I truly am. F1's back, obviously. Ferrari's having some problems. I don't want to get into that. We're going, you know, that's behind us now.
It's the engine, the rotary girder problems, right? That's what it is?
That's correct.
Oh, God, man, thank you.
How did you know that?
This positive gaslighting is working. It's charm. I'm so close to getting into F1 now just because of it. Yeah, I tuned in and I watched a Tennessee game a couple weeks ago. It might have been Tennessee, Kentucky. And I just watched Tennessee's point guard take 58 shots that were like Philip Seymour Hoffman in Along Came Polly, just like raindrop and like shooting from all over the court, not hitting anything. And then and I was told he was their best player and he got hurt. So I was like, and then Alabama's got a, you know, murder adjacent situation going on. So I'm like, I part of me was like, yeah, let me drop some money in here and like make some bad decisions. But I thought, no, man, you don't get to do that because you've already made your bad decision for this year and you need to.
Yeah, you did.
I know.
I didn't. Okay. You know, I diversified and Tennessee is so infuriating. My brother and I talk about that team and you want to blame Rick Barnes. You really do. This team just forgot how to make a shot. Like they were good at the beginning of the season. Half these teams are so freaking weird.
The difficult part is just the quality of basketball is very different now. So you look, I always look for those senior teams that are maybe not as flashy, but they played together for a long time because I feel like chemistry goes a long way. But I've heard Rick Barnes is a good dude. He does look like the megachurch pastor who just realized all of the staff been embezzling money from him. And the coffers are empty. You know, he's got that look on his face like, I don't know what to do now, boys. I do not know what to do.
You know what other look he has? I hope they win a couple of games, maybe make it to the Final Four. That'd be great. Maybe it's not going to happen, but it'd be great. And then I have a feeling we're getting a dance video, a Rick Barnes trying to be cool dance video.
It's not the year for that, Rick. It's not the year for
that. It is the year for that. No, it's not. Manifest that.
Go quietly into that good night. You know, you saw how that worked out for Brian Kelly. You know, this is the year for a dance video. Brian Kelly. So do you, you know, we're not really going to talk directly NCAA basketball, but I did want
to. Not yet. Next week.
Definitely not next week. Do you have like a strategy, like for who, like what your bracket, because you put together a bracket showdown for a group by the time people are listening to it, it's going to be way too late. So sorry you missed it. But like, are you choosing mass chaos? Or are you going chalk this year?
I typically run about 75 to 80% chalk.
Mm.
But honestly, I almost always run 100% chalk, and then I'm like, no, this is not how this works.
Yeah.
And then I force myself into it. You got to find some 12s. You've got to find some, you know, 13s to upset.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I think if I was gambling, I would do, honestly, I didn't even do a bracket. I just haven't watched. And I'm like, why do I want to watch this crash and burn? But from what I understand, this is all chaos this year. So this is the year to go full on chaos. So it feels like that'd kind of be a little bit fun, you know, to get in on. So I look forward to see what's going on in the tournament. For the purposes of this episode and this conversation, though, we are going to use the lens of the NCAA tournament and talk about the good and the bad of parenting, especially here in the spring season. We're right in the midst of all the school, all the sports, all the stuff, all the socials.
Spring break.
Oh, yeah. Spring break. You guys got spring break plans? What'd you get into?
Headed down to Florida.
Okay. Which part? You heard about the seaweed and the red tide? Yes?
No. Tell me.
Okay.
This is golf side.
Okay. Yeah. I think that you're heading right into the belly of the beast. They're reportedly, accordingly, to my sources. You know, I can't out them. This isn't official. I read something like there's a seaweed blob as wide as the continental United States, which...
What?
Again... feels not real, and I'm not sure. Feels very dubious, but like it's a big old blob boy of seaweed somewhere out there. That's not your immediate issue. Your immediate issue is the red tide is coming back, and that is not a menstruation joke. Okay, pervert. That's not what that's about. It's actually. Do you know anything about the red tide? Have you heard about this before?
No.
We were in the Gulf a couple years
ago. I'm not a big ocean guy. Give me a pool. Give me a lake. 7 days a week.
I mean, I'm trying, honestly, Jason, I'm sitting here in this moment and my impulse would be like, I'm a huge ocean guy. But then I was like, are you a huge ocean guy?
You're a catch a football into waves guy.
That's my like move. That. That's 100%.
I like that
move.
As well.
Yeah.
We've been to the beach together. We love that.
I'm 100% catch football in the waves guy and then really, really overreact when my foot grazes a shell in the water.
I need a 30-minute break.
Really overreact. I'm not gonna point at it. I'm not gonna let people know that I overreacted, but I'm just gonna play it off. I'm gonna play it off like I wanted to get in a quick 3-yard sprint in away from that specific spot. But the red tide, we were in the Gulf a couple years ago and the red tide came in, and it is it's almost like an airborne issue where
What is happening right now?
There are scientists in labs.
You're describing
right now, like they're going to be so upset because I'm not going to get this right. But it's miserable. It kills all the fish in the water. They wash up on shore and it gets in the air and like it makes you feel like you're having like a coughing fit. So we had to leave. Like we had to leave a couple days early. So for really, like you might want to check into that. You know, see what's up.
Do they have fans? Like aren't we putting in like a bunch of? Oh no, that's hurting the whales. A bunch of air turbines. Speed those things up.
Oh, so you're just like, let's air condition this someone else? Like, let's push this to Destin?
Not air conditioning. Fans don't cool rooms. Fans cool people. I got in a huge fight with my father-in-law about this.
Fans don't cool rooms. Fans cool people. Is this a cousin of like guns don't kill people, people kill people?
Absolutely not. Okay. I'm doing my bit. We're not doing that bit. A fan moves air and feels cooler on the person.
Yeah.
I'm talking about fans, not air conditioning. That's conditioning the air.
Sure. Okay. Yes.
I just want to blow it back out to sea.
Yeah.
Okay. Ceiling fan in your room, the ceiling fan does not change the temperature of the air in the room.
Are ceiling fans gaslighting us? Is that what we're talking about?
That's my point.
Okay.
Positive gaslighting.
Okay. I think we are on a journey here to number one.
The things that you get me into and like get me to say and then just absolutely park on.
I'm a big goals guy, right? And so we became a Bills podcast. We tried to get them the Super Bowl. That didn't work. Now we're an Aaron Rodgers podcast. And I'm honestly,
no, you're not.
But we are, aren't we? We led the show.
We are an Aaron Rodgers off the Packers podcast. Yes.
Then it stops. You know what it is? I just want to know, what's your end game, Aaron Rodgers? Like, I want to fast forward 20 years and be like, where have you gone? Where have you been? What have you done? I just want to know.
That is the greatest point I've ever heard. Because Pat McAfee quit being a punter because he had a very distinct goal.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning didn't want to take over Monday Night Football, but when he knew he was done, he had a plan. He wanted to go win with Denver. Indianapolis wanted to get Luck, blah, 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 right? What? Aaron Rodgers has no substantial plan that we are aware of.
That's exactly right. And I think, I don't know if
maybe that's our fault.
Have we not inspired him enough? Or is it just like, does he really, is Jeopardy the end game? Where he's like, I'm just, when all this goes away, I'm just going to be on Jeopardy and I'm going to be happy.
He's not getting Jeopardy. Did you watch? It was so bad. Everyone else was better.
According to his sources, he was electric, you know? So I don't know what you were watching, but yeah, it's just whatever. But I do think one of our goals should be to figure out what gaslighting is, like once and for all, you know,
bro. You termed positive gaslighting last episode because I'm trying to convince you and sway you.
Yeah,
I don't know what gaslighting is.
Is everything gaslighting, either positive or negative? Is like the whole world made out of gaslight? I just don't know, and I just want to understand. I want to be the people when someone's like, "Let's get the experts on gaslighting." That probably sounds bad. You don't want to be an expert on gaslighting, on like academic gaslighting. See, is that's a whole genre like I didn't even think about? You know, like I don't even know about.
I understand Riz now. It took me a couple of weeks. But not freaking 3 years like gaslighting.
It's the problem. I understand risk too. As someone had explained to me, I think it was on the podcast. This is when I doubt. Everyone's like, man, Gen Z or Gen Alpha or whatever their name is. They're so smart. They're so good. They're going to change the world. I'm like, Riz is really close to Jizz. And that is just a tactical error. You know? So I have some problems.
Can we circle back, Synergy? What is Generation Alpha? Because that generation is awesome. Is there really a Generation Alpha?
I guess that's after
Gen Z,
like your youngest and my youngest. I think that's their terminology. I was like, that's great. Millennials, not cool. You know,
you got to step up if you're Generation Alpha.
I just don't think you can give out Alpha willy nilly. I feel like that's one you designate after the fact. You know, like Greatest Generation, they weren't like, hey, you guys just got born. Congratulations, you're the Greatest Generation. I hope it works out. And then they got World War II. It was like, oh, in retrospect, that's probably the Greatest Generation.
That is how it should work.
Mm. God, I think that's good. Generational gaslighting. That's what we're doing right now.
did we accidentally? I don't even know how it works.
God, I can hear the notes of people being like, maybe break on the, maybe lean away from the gaslighting, but my instinct is to go right into it, steer into it. You know what I mean? I don't even know how we got here. So we're talking about the NCAA tournament. We are, we want to use the lens of seeds, of seeding, right? Because everyone's like, who's a one seed? Who's a two seed? Who's a 12 seed? Whatever. You mentioned it. You're like, I usually go chalk, but you do have to pick a 12 seed because the 12 always upsets a 5. So what we want to do is talk about parenting in the context of seeding. So I want to talk about one seed. Like what, Jason, when you think of like a one seed of parenting for you right now in the season, what is a one seed?
The one seed is absolutely golf. Now I can put this into a bigger thing, which is doing things that you wanted to do anyways. I wanted to go to the combine. Guess what? Did I plant some seeds? Speaking of seeds, into little man's head that said, do you want to go watch 19 to 22 year olds, maybe even 27 year olds in some case, work out in their underwear? You do, because it's electric. And so we went in person and we went and did that. And then year over year now, he wants to go. daughter's interested in going now. Okay. But golf is the biggest one. How can I be away from my family on the weekend or at night for 5 hours? You can't. It's not reasonable.
Yeah.
You want to go golfing? We can be gone for 7 hours now and eat hot dogs and get Gatorades.
I love it. I think this is recreational gaslighting. It's the best kind of gaslighting, honestly. It's so smart. Frankly, it is. I did this to my oldest. I think we talked about this with The Last of Us. And I was like, man, really great show. It's really, you think you want to watch it? Like, you like Pedro Pascal? You do like Pedro Pascal? Confirmed. He's in it. He's in that show. So I don't know. You know, it'd probably be pretty good. You can stay up late and watch it with us. And then
there it is. There's been
like four times where he's like, I wish you hadn't done this. I wish you hadn't made me watch this. So it doesn't always work out, but that's a really good one of, you know, doing the Jedi mind trick.
Video games the same way. Mm. Oh, do you want to? Because my friends are playing Fortnite now. And do you want to play Fortnite with your uncles? Mm. Sure. You can. Absolutely. Hop on.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm thinking about trying this with Ted Lasso, you know, now that third season's out. And I feel like, because I'm always trying to watch the lens of like, what do I have to explain later? Or what is he going to be uncomfortable with? I feel like there's only one or two scenes in that regard. But Roy Kent's got a mouth on him, man. So I don't know what to do.
It's a lot of words. A lot of words.
Well, that's a good one seed. That's a really good one seed.
What do you got?
Let me hit you with one of mine. I've got absolute one seed. Probably, you know, I'm thinking, do you remember the UNLV running Rebels? When they had like Stacey Ogman, Larry Johnson. And
Grandmama.
They were just like, they weren't just beating people. They were just curb stomping people like in that whole tournament run. Kid birthday parties with stated child drop-off policy. That's the UNLV of one seeds. It's undefeated. It's like, hey, we're having a party. Bring your kid. Don't stay. You're not allowed to stay. Okay.
But you don't have those parties.
Oh, I have those. But that's the only kind of parties we have. We say, you as an adult are not obligated and expected. And frankly, it is not our wish that you stay here and lurk about and make me have to make an awkward conversation with you. We're babysitting for a couple hours. So go get out.
How is that a one seed to you to babysit these rascals?
Oh, no. Like, listen.
You like drop off ones.
Two of my kids are not social, so they don't have parties. The one does. So I can stomach it for once a year. I'm saying those ones where I get the rundown Monday and I'm like, Saturday, we got a birthday party and I'm probably going to draw that one. Okay. And then I find out Friday, hey, it's actually a drop off. So you just like go. Just, you want to walk on dicks aimlessly? You get to do that for a little bit. Undefeated one seed. It's the best policy.
Did you say around or on?
I said around, but it, you know, I don't know. Your body, your choice. I'm not here to judge or do anything. I also want to say transportation. As a parent, transportation, you don't have to drive or be in charge of. You just get to ride.
When are you getting these deals, man? This is incredible.
Well, this is primarily train rides. Or like when someone else is like, hey, I have to drive the car. Like whenever we go to live shows, Aaron's like, I have to drive. I have to be in control of the car. So I sit in the back seat and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. I can just ride in this car and not have to do anything.
I gotcha.
You know what I mean?
I thought you meant the train ride where you go by yourself to write a book the entire time.
Yeah. And I mean, that's also great. That's the whole point. That's why. Like, imagine, man, freaking Elon Musk. It's like, either do the driverless car or don't. Okay. Don't be a Twitter boy. Do this driverless car so I can write more books and I can write stuff. Okay.
Do the tunnel thing where I put my car on a platform and it takes me, or don't.
Yeah.
Do the driverless car or don't.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to shame him about Mars, but it's like, if we're going to Mars, I think we probably need to get on that, you know, probably need to like get that thing rolling. So I got a lot of notes for Elon Musk, honestly.
Do we have an entire Elon Musk episode in us? It's starting to feel like, yes.
He's one of those guys that I feel like if you talk too much about Elon Musk, people are like, ooh, not a big fan of that one. Did you read the Would You Date a Podcast Bro New York Times article that was kind of bouncing around the other day?
No, I know what you're referencing.
It's tough.
I think you took some screenshots of it and posted them in your stories. If I recall,
tough look for the podcast broskies out there. You know, just taking L after L after L. It was not great. I'll also do this. Is more like you know, who was the one seed that lost recently? Like the first one seed in a while.
Virginia.
Thank you. This is a Virginia one seed. Okay. English or history homework. That's it's good. It's still homework, so it's not great. But I get to help on it, and I can do those, right? There's going to be a 16 seed we're going to talk about in a minute that I can't help with and I don't know how to do. So that's not a good situation. But writing or history homework, that's the good stuff right now. I can just knock that out.
We are completely opposite on this one.
Oh, see, because I can, unfortunately, I've read and listened to so much that I'm like, actually, you know, third grader, if you want to tell your teacher that the founding fathers weren't really about liberty as much as avoiding like property taxes, and they were in debt and they were going to lose their property, that's why they had a revolution. You can tell her that, or you can just stick to the liberty thing, like your choice. Like it's just read the situation, read option, you know.
You want to help your kids with that instead of doing some elementary school math?
Can't do the elementary school math. Can't do it. Okay. let's just do that. Let's skip to the 16 seed.
Spoiler alert on the 16 seed.
Let's go 16 seed because the improper fractions versus mixed numbers. Number one, that sounds problematic. That sounds like I'm going to get canceled or it's racist. I don't know if that's even the right terminology that we use anymore, but I didn't learn this the first time around. So I don't know why I'm supposed to learn this off of YouTube the second time around. It's preposterous.
Do you know there's a new way to do division? I don't even know what that means. I've seen it done. It's wild. Can we all just use calculators? I mean, honestly,
yeah,
I want my kids to learn. I do want my kids to learn cursive.
Yes.
And I do want my kids to be able to do math and writing and all that stuff.
Hold on.
But on the other hand,
I said yes.
You know what I use?
I said yes.
Google.
To the cursive. And this is like last episode when we were like, the Texans don't draft a quarterback. And we were both like, yeah, that makes sense. And then we had to double back and be like, actually, that's stupid. We shouldn't have said that. You want your kids to learn cursive? I said yes, but I did not mean that. Why do you want your kids to learn cursive?
Eye-hand coordination. I think that it has more to do with that than they're not going to use cursive. I'm not worried about that, but I think that the cursive writing is a good eye-hand coordination situation.
Okay. Instead of that, why don't we install like 20 speed bags in elementary school classrooms and just let them work the speed bag? And that's hand-eye coordination.
I'm in on that as well. Sorry, either one.
Are you eye-hand coordination or are you hand-eye coordination?
I don't know which one I am.
I think I've always said hand-eye. I've always said hand-eye, but I feel like some people say eye-hand.
Eye-hand? No, hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Hand-eye coordination. What are we talking about here?
Like, yeah. It's the same thing as rock, paper, scissors.
It's rock, paper, scissors. That's not a thing.
Right. Okay. No, I think rock, I say paper, rock, scissors. I say paper, rock, scissors. Sorry, that's me. That's me. I do actually
Wait a minute. Paper, rock, scissors. Oh, no.
See, this is name gaslighting.
No, it's
and
rock.
This is where we get into trouble, guys.
No, it's rock, paper, scissors.
Paper, rock, scissors. No, that's how I say it. That's 100% how I say it. I've always said
No, it's
that.
Rock, paper, scissors.
I don't understand fractions. And I do, you know, sometimes you'll watch like a teenage dystopian movie series, like the one with Shailene Woodley or whatever. And it's basically
Divergent.
Thank you.
Miles Teller.
I was never going to get there. In a million years, I never would have gotten there.
Kate Winslet.
I've
never been more let down by a series in my entire life.
What's a, who is the one? Man,
Neo.
No, I was going to describe her as
nailed that joke.
The actress with a sister who sings, and the mom just killed herself. But that didn't seem like a fun way to describe it. So,
oh my gosh.
Ashley Judd. That's I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, Winona.
It was accurate. It was accurate, but it wasn't fun. You know, Ashley Judd. Spoiler alert: not in most of those movies. Just like in the first part. But there's parts that I like about those movies because. They start and they're like, hey, you're 8 years old. You suck at math. Guess what? You're not doing math anymore. You're doing language or weapons. And I'm not saying we, you know, bring back all the dystopian aspects, but I think there's some wisdom in just being like, hey, this kid's dumb at math. If someone would have been like, hey, fourth grade Knox, you're never going to be good at math. So why don't you just read more, right? Read double, you know, because you have a calculator and like, that's the end.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So Knox, you know that I don't need to be convinced to buy myself a Prezi, but all that talking about getting new sun tops for your pair eyewear glasses got me super excited to go get some for myself.
Oh yeah? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm so glad you asked because I cannot wait for our new merch to arrive so that I can wear the purple reflective sun top with my That'll Make Sense on Wednesday t-shirt. Erin, how great will those two look together?
Oh my gosh, so cute. Should I get one so we can match?
Well, I do feel like the lavender tortoise split sun top is more your style. No, right?
Now I want both of them, Jamie.
Well, did you know that Pear is super budget friendly? So you could get both. Their base frames start at just $60, and that includes the prescription. I love that they have simple to understand all-in-one pricing. You can even use your FSA, HSA, or easily get an insurance reimbursement to purchase the base frames. And the top frames start at just $25, and the sun top frames start at just $30. So you can easily get two without breaking the bank. They also always offer free shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy, so it's super low risk to give them a try. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, Eyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you'd like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. It's Knox here with your annual reminder that Mother's Day is just around the corner. This year, let's think outside the box a little bit, guys. Forget sweaters, candles, or the dreaded bathrobe. They're all so predictable and boring. That's why this year I'm recommending you get an Aura Frame. It's the perfect gift to mix things up and give a gift that shows some real thoughtfulness and is guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. We actually have one of these in our house right now, and we absolutely love it. It only takes about 2 minutes to set up, and it was super easy. Between all the kids, I was a little worried we'd run out of room, but it has free unlimited storage for photos and videos, and you can invite as many people as you want to contribute to the frame. Now that the kids are a little older, we've added them as contributors to the frame, and it's been really fun to see a few of their photos pop up from events they attend without us. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
I would have loved that. And I would have been the opposite. Like, I don't read books now. I wish I didn't have to fake read them then. You know, be like, Jason, you can just do math all the time. That's cool. You don't have to read these books and just write things that the teachers want to hear. Like you were just describing about with your daughter. It's whatever. I'm about to get into grill voice and be I'm not writing a paper that makes sense. I'm writing a paper that the teacher wants to read.
That's my whole thing is measuring the teacher's vibe and then writing an essay to their vibe. And that's how you get out of college.
That's all I did. I didn't read the books. I just like, what did they say in class that they got passionate about? And then I would make that the essay and then turn it in.
I'm not going to be the guy who's like, now teachers are going to earn their money because of ChatGPT, like college professors, like English professors, but holy cow. Like, I don't know how you get around ChatGPT. Like, man, I'm going to pull back. Okay. You know how sometimes you have too many shirts in your closet and you're like, someone institutes a policy that's like, if you get one, you have to take one out, right? So yes. I'm going to institute a policy where I can't talk about AI unless you can talk about F1. So you talk a little F1, then I get to talk a little AI, because otherwise I will run wild on AI and like all the different things that I'm messing around with right now.
I don't know what deal you're trying to make with me, because we can talk about AI this entire time.
It's too much.
Spoiler alert. Half this episode has been AI. Can you all, the listener, figure out which parts were AI?
Oh my gosh, you started doing the voice too. That's so smart. We should fix it in post and just do robot voices the whole time and be like, bam, now it's us dummies. That's right. AI's free obsessed with gaslighting, not us. Okay. And Aaron Rodgers, not us. Next question. I don't want to do math. I also say, 16 seed school field trips. School field trips are a problem now. And I know not all schools.
I don't do them, man.
Well, some schools are a little more like laissez-faire about it. Like my son's school, they're like, hey, nope. No parents. That's ridiculous. Okay. Because they go to the school so they can learn. You don't need to be here too. But my girls go to a school where they're like, we are going to need both parents. Ideally, we need an ancestor and one of them needs to have served in the military before. So just make sure that happens. And it's the night before that field trip, which is also a problem. They straight up did, I don't know if it's Veterans Day, they had a service. And in the lead up to the service, they were like, your child has to have interviewed a family member who served in the military. And I was like, first of all, they're all dead. Second of all, even if they were alive, we're like nouveau riche family dysfunction here. Okay. Like, luckily my parents kept it together and like are cool people and stayed together and like are on talking terms with us. Can't say that for anybody else. So even if they were alive, I don't know that they'd be like, let's have an interview about my time in Nam, you know, smoking out the Vietnamese. Like, what are we doing here? So can we just like, I don't know, maybe talk about the new division and don't put more family burden on me, the parent. That's all I'm asking. That's a 16 seed. Very disappointing. You know,
I would love to see you go on a field trip,
man. I did it with my son back in the day. I did a lot of pumpkin patch stuff. You know, those were, we called those the lean years of podcasting and copywriting. So a lot more flex in the sketch. And they weren't great. You know, you find yourself sitting at a table with a bunch of moms and just not good at chopping it up with the moms. You know, just as it's like, I'm making everyone uncomfortable. No one wants me here. This isn't,
that's great. Not your fault.
I know, but it's like, so is the move to be more outgoing? I don't think that's the move. That probably feels weird. So I'm just going to go stand in the corner and at least it's an acceptable amount of weird. You know, it's what they expected from me. Did you have a 16 seed for parenting?
The six. Yeah. And it's the absolute stress of being a parent. I think that, you know, you're balancing not being a helicopter parent, being a helicopter parent, making sure you don't get labeled as that by your friends, family, colleagues, anything like that.
Yeah.
But also, there's a lot of good technology. I like to have a little GPS chip on my kids, you know? So yeah. We went ahead and put that into their arm, and now I know where they are at all times.
Oh, for real? Like, for real, for real?
No.
Oh, man.
Just a watch. We just got them watches so that they could explore the neighborhood more.
Okay, so that my reaction was, I was slowly trying to figure out, how do I confront him with, that's weird, and you shouldn't have done that? But also let him feel like accepted and safe in this place.
God, so. I would implant something for the technology of it all. You know what? The problem is the van drivers, not minivan, the white van drivers with no windows. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Not the kids. Right? So it's like, it's defensive driving. Do you know what defensive driving school is? Maybe I had to go to it once. Not a big deal. But they don't teach you to be an offensive driver. They teach you that the other drivers might hit you. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's the defensive part. So, man, I'm not trying to go into defensive parenting.
No, dude, defensive driving dad voice. It's good.
I'm trying to balance. Let them just take their bikes and go in, and who knows where they go, and good luck. And what age is that at? And nobody teaches you these things. Like, I just had to think back to my childhood. And, you know, there's all the, back in my day, we used to just go play and then the dinner bell and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, great. Well, you didn't have video games back then either, or devices or Apple TVs or shows that you watched as a family together, right? So none of that was happening. That being said, I go explore. That's fine. But now what? Like, just, this is just new to me. Like, that's what I'm talking about, the stress. That's why it's a 16 seed, is I'm trying to balance all these things. So I just put a watch on their wrist. Give them a watch that has maybe a GPS in it. So.
You just put the mark of the beast on their neck. Is that a big deal? No, it's not that big of a deal, guys. Gosh. Look, this is a great call because, number one, if I'd had an iPad when I was 10 years old, that's the only thing I would be doing. Because when I was 10 years old, the only thing I actually did was I would get home from school and I would play F-Zero for like 3 hours. And then chase it with some Mario Kart if my friends came over, and I would listen to Cake, Fashion Nugget, on a loop on my boombox. That's what I did, okay? I was not out there chasing the great wild yonder. I was just blowing time just like this generation does. Secondly, do you think the windowless van creators, do you think they just don't know? Like, they just don't know the vibe on their product? And someone just needs to be like, hey, you know, like, you're kind of associated with pedophiles, so...
There has to be another use for them. Like painters have them. Like, why can't painters have windows? Because they're stacking stuff in there on shelves and it's just not necessary, and a window costs more than the siding. Probably, you know, like, I'm not saying painters are abducting kids. I'm saying that's like the actual use of a windowless van.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Trade people, transportation. There's no point to have the cost of the window if you can just have the siding go all the way up. But it's a stigma.
It's a
stereotype. It's out there.
Why didn't Biden
acknowledging it, not creating it?
Biden should have been like, hey, TikTok got to sell or get out of here or whatever he's doing with TikTok. And like sandwiched in there, you know, like with, I don't know, his pork. I feel like they use pork a lot when they like make like laws and legislation and stuff. They'd be like, also windowless van drivers, like you got to put windows. Got to have at least one window. You know, there's like codes for buildings. Like you have to rail like on your porch or whatever. Like you got to have a window in a van. Every van gets a window. Sorry. Like that under my watch as President Joe Biden, that's what we're doing here. I feel like I would be like, man, that's a sick move, Biden. That's pretty good stuff. Thanks, man. That's good.
So that stress is my 16 seed and just dealing with it. Nobody preps you for middle age. I got to tell you, you know, how could they?
No. And we are the, you know, we're not the alpha generation, obviously, reluctantly.
Clearly
we're the only one that rides that. We straddle the before and after, you know, those times of like, yeah, we could just kind of go ride bikes or whatever. Or like your kid can disappear into the metaverse and like lightsaber things all day. And I understand that. It's very understandable. I would also do that as well. You know, like we have a trampoline. Trampoline's kind of cool. It's not cool for 3 hours. It's trampoline. You know, it kind of gets tiring after a little bit. Works the hammies. Five seeds. Do you have any five seeds? And I think to characterize five seeds, my idea here was, at least this is how I was going after it. These are things that sound good, but ultimately are a little disappointing in the form of the at least one or two fives per year getting upset by the 12 seed.
So this is close, but different than your 16 seed of going on class field trips.
Mm.
My five seed is coaching your kids.
Okay.
It sounds great. At first they want you to coach them, but now you got to deal with other people's kids.
Oof.
And you got to deal with potentially your kid being terrible at the thing you're coaching them at. Now you have to deal with parents, right? So it sounds good in theory and you want to do it, but then what inevitably happens is you deal with the other crazy parents. I don't know. Are you a screamer as a parent at games? I don't say a single thing.
I stand in the corner away from everybody because I will become a fighter if someone else is screaming.
I think we addressed a year or so ago that I had to break up or I went down and screamed at a couple coaches that were attempting to fight and took care of that. But besides that, I don't say anything. And I've adopted, I think it's your rule or you heard it from somewhere, is don't say anything about the game on the drive home.
Yeah.
So that doesn't, because that is a big thing. Like I just ask them, do they have fun? Well, you know, great job, blah, blah, blah. But if every time on the ride home after their event, competition, spelling bee, sports, whatever it may be, if they will grow anxiety to the idea that we have to rehash it on that drive home.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I love that you've brought that up and I've adopted that as well. But coaching your kids, five seed, seems like a great idea, right? You want to be involved. You're probably going to go anyways. You're going to be there. But I struggle with it. So.
No, I think it's a good call. And just as a cleanup, if your kid is trying to talk about the game and you're just like, no, I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. You got to learn about Aaron Rodgers. And have you heard about what's happening on Last of Us? That's not the right move. You can engage with the kid.
Absolutely.
After the game, if they want to talk about it, that's a good thing to do.
Like when my daughter was goalie on Sunday, and gave up just atrocious soccer goals.
Yeah.
Did I bring that up on the drive home? No, I did not.
Yeah. Yeah. So is your move, if your kids are terrible, you're like, hey, sorry about it. I'm the coach. I make the calls. Kid's going to play.
No, absolutely not. Best kid plays at all levels. Even if you have to have even minutes. We're fudging that. We're trying to win. We're here to win.
Now,
what are we teaching this generation? We want to win.
For me,
I buy them separate trophies. You know what I mean? They get their medal from the league.
Yeah.
But guess what? If you win, Coach Jason's buying you a bigger trophy. If you lose, you're raking the field.
I'm a big fan. Look, people get, you know, I wrote about participation trophies. It was actually invented like pre-World War II, I think. I think maybe everybody gets participation trophies. but you can make those participation trophies sized differently depending on contributions. I'm not against that. I think that'd be interesting.
On the team. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
And call it out too. Rachel, I'm not going to lie. You scored no points this season. Okay. You're getting a certificate that it's not even on cardstock.
Yeah. Sorry. This is like printer paper. This isn't even like real printer paper. It's just like legal binding.
This is fax paper.
My policy is once you get into school sports, now I have some expectations of the coaches, but before that, you are a volunteer and you are doing a thing I did not choose to do. So I have no critiques for you
because absolutely my youngest, correct.
She was coached by a gentleman who had no business coaching soccer. But he was the only one that stepped up and did it. So was it weird when he wasn't putting our two best players on the field at the same time and he would take them off at the same time and we would just hemorrhage goals? It was weird. But did I say anything to him about it? I did not. I did not say a word to him because he was doing something I wasn't doing. Now, coaching in school teams, it's interesting because at one school, my girls, they're with a coach, or my middle girl, she's with a coach who's like, if you suck, you will not play. I will not give you pity minutes. I will not feel bad for you. Your parents can call me. They can scream at me. You will not play. You will be exiled to a Mediterranean country and I will not care about you. Don't test me on that. But my son, it's like everyone rotates through. And I'm more of the opinion, like, let's try to win. You know, let's go for the neck. Let's go for the jugular here. Not everybody gets playing time at a certain point. You know what I mean?
That's what garbage time is for. If the good players get us up by 25, whatever the sport is, I don't know. That's relative. But then, hey, other people are going to – so make those good players better if you want to play.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think the pandemic – with our kids, the pandemic, it either it made not passive kids, but it made kids who aren't like, I'm going to try to murder you in this sporting event. It made them more passive, and it made the murderous kids who are like, I'm going to try to assassinate you on every single snap – play, face off, whatever, it made them more violent and aggressive. So it's a real disparity out there in sports right now. Okay. One of my five seats is getting a pet, getting a family pet, and everyone sitting down, have a family meeting. And you know, it's a family meeting because you're in the living room, you know, and there's like a talking totem where it's like the only person who is holding like the vase can talk. So it's very official. You know, there's minutes, there's everything. And everyone's like, we will agree to do shifts. We will take this puppy out. We will help with this puppy. We will feed this puppy. We will make sure the dish is full of water at all times. And then 13 hours later, all hell busts loose. No one is caring for this puppy anymore. And now you, the person who really didn't want the puppy, is now in charge of taking care of the puppy at all times. That's a real five seed because it seems like a good idea to get a pet. And then it's 3 a.m. and you're freezing your balls off and you're trying to get this dog to go to the bathroom, you know.
We had our little fur buddy pass away last year and they wanted a new dog. So I said, fine, I will write a contract that I'm not doing anything at all. And then you all may get a new dog. I'll cuddle it. I will love it. I'm not letting it out. I'm not feeding it. And then they're like, well, you work from home. You can't let it. I was like, I'll let it out one time per day when I'm working from home. They will not sign that contract because that's exactly, trust me, I do want a little dog. I like little dogs and I don't like, and we have allergies, me and in the family of dog allergies, and even hyperallergenic dogs have dander, blah, blah, blah. I'll get a dog, but guess what? I'm not taking care of it. It's too much. It's too much for me. It's too much.
See, you're a better person than me because you have a standard and you'll uphold it. I fold immediately and I'm like, I guess this is my burden now. This is my Sisyphean.
But you're rock. A true dog lover. I like having a dog to cuddle with and I can go over to friends' houses and get that fix in. Just like, that's why we're not having another kid. Like we can go over, we can find babies to hold. Not loving that, but we're
No, pursue that. Like, what does that mean?
I love holding babies.
Sure.
But yeah.
How many windows does your van have? Dogs. Just out of curiosity, just like for the record. More than
three
one.
Three power doors. One, two, three.
I'm going to tell you something. And I'm going to tell you the presentation of the idea. I'm going to tell you my reluctance to it. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Okay. So, you know, like we're eventually going to move. We're going to move out to some land, some family land. Gonna have a little space. And Ashley, my daughters, want to get chickens with this because my sister is out there and she has chickens and we always see them when we visit. And they want to get chickens. I don't want to get chickens. I tell them I'm not gonna get chickens because I know it's going to be, again, 3 a.m. and there's like an impending snowstorm. And I'm going to be chasing these freaking chickens around, trying to put them in God knows where. Or like there's a pack of stray dogs running around and I've got to save their chicken lives. And I'm telling them, we're not getting chickens. And I guarantee you this time next year, put it on the calendar, I'm going to have some freaking chickens running around where we live. I just know it. I just know it's going to happen.
Chickens, I'll get chickens, not at my current residence. But if I was in that situation, I would get chickens. That's free eggs. Don't get me wrong. It's not free. You have to buy the stuff. But no, you get the whole enclosure. Have you not seen these chicken coops?
Don't chicken-splain me. I've seen chicken coops. I understand how it works. I understand how eggs work. This is more drag. This is just more drag. I'm trying to reduce drag, bro. I'm trying to reduce obligations on me. I've got to like do all this bull crap every single day. And by the time I'm done, I'm like, I'm so tired. I didn't get to do anything I wanted to do. I didn't get to do anything I meant to do. And now I'm going to be like nurturing and like emotionally coaxing eggs out of chickens. I can't. I don't have the bandwidth for that. But I swear I'm going to be doing that next year. I know I am. I just know it's going to happen.
You're going to love it.
I'm going to hate it.
They take care of themselves. I don't even know if that's true. Hey, pop culture reference. I want to recommend a show on Amazon Prime called Clarkson's Farm. Mm. I want you to go watch it. It is so freaking good. They've had two seasons of it. It's a quick watch. It's extremely good. And Jeremy Clarkson from Top Gear fame. I don't know. I didn't watch all those shows, but moto journalist, whatever.
Sure.
This show is incredible. And you need to go watch it if you're about to get chickens, because he's going through the stages of having a farm and trying to figure stuff out. And it is such a rewarding watch.
I'm just like, I want to live on the farm without the burden of maintaining the farm. And that's the proposal we have. That's the opportunity we have here. But instead, what we're going to do is onboard some of the burdens of having a farm that we don't need. And
do
I
you
want to
know what
it.
the chickens are going to be fine.
No, they're not.
Do you know what's going to happen next is a goat. I foresee a goat for you.
I'm going to live in a shipping container that is like sails around the world. I'm not doing that. I'm not milking. I'm not milking anything.
You don't have to milk the goat. It's just a pet.
That was a preemptive. I'm not milking anything. Okay.
You all are going to get an inside pig.
No, I'm not doing goat yoga. Yes. I'm not doing pigs. I'm not doing. Listen,
Tennessee
I did
feigning goats.
Can I give you a Shark Tank idea really quick? Because my sister did have pigs, and then she sent them to the, you know, but well, she actually didn't. Her husband and some friends took care of the pigs and, you know, dealt with it. And I said, my idea was like business idea. Hey, Sharks, it's me, Knox, looking for, you know, 25% of $100,000. And it's a business where you go like home to home and like deal with the pigs for people. And it's called Squeal Team 6. And like that's, so it's not, I don't even know how the logistics of the business work. I just think the name's cool. I feel like Mark would be
gosh,
on that.
Oh my gosh, I want to see the logo of that so bad.
Oh my gosh, I think that's episode name. I would invest in that if I was a billionaire. She's like, I don't know what this is or how this works, but I want to see this. I want to see this fly. I think that's good. I think it's a good list. I think that's a strong tournament field, a very strong tournament field.
Can you imagine if we filled out the entire bracket? It'd be elite.
I do want to just encourage people. You never have to do brackets of content for around tournament season, because the only interesting part is the first round. And then you're just like, you're anchored to this content monster monolith forever. So don't feel like you got to do that. Let that.
What can we replace that with? Because the competition of things that shouldn't be competing against each other is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Jim Halbert versus, you know, Ryan Atwood. I do like that. There's no correct answer here. Construct.
Sure.
And I don't agree that I think the later rounds, if not the championship, is the only interesting thing. Not the first, like the first rounds, you're so opinionated, and the you either didn't do that show at all on one of them, and then it's just so obvious, versus they don't actually play the game, right? So yeah. what can we offer up instead of pop culture brackets?
I mean, honestly, I don't know, but I think you're speaking to the problem inherent to it, because you laid out a first round matchup of Jim Halpert versus Ryan Atwood. Like that's not even a matchup. That's Ryan Atwood. That's not even a 16 versus a one. That's like a one versus a 58, you know?
Well, that's the point. It is for us, but
no, it's not. It's
so
for everybody.
Many people,
it's for anybody.
So
with
many
eyes.
People would pick Jim. And this is why those pop culture brackets work.
Have you rewatched The Office in a minute? You seen any?
the first couple seasons. I can't deal with it when Ed Helms gets there. That's where I stopped. Yeah, yeah. During maybe at the very beginning of the pandemic Lovato, I watched up until Ed Helms got there.
You know, in the Lego movie, when Lord Business is cool and fun and like easy breezy, that's like the Steve Carell years. But when he turns into like Lord Business, that's the Nard Dog years. Just not great. Not a great time. We popped on a couple for my son, and it'd been a minute since we watched it. And you know, when you're watching with someone, you're like, I want you to laugh. Like, don't you think it's good? Don't you think it's worth your time? And they're not laughing. And it just didn't land. And I was like, was this as funny as I remember? Or is this one of those rearview mirror things of, I remember this more funny than it actually was. Not that it's bad, but it's just like, I've put too much on it, you know?
Probably. And it meant something at a time. Right. And then that sticks with you. Veep is very rewatchable. God. Extremely rewatchable.
Veep is so good. It's because the insults are timeless. The insults are utterly timeless and so good. Okay, well, that's the main part of our episode. Let's go cameo here. Cameo close to the pin. Remind me, because I honestly don't remember. Did I win the last one? Did I break the streak? Or are you still?
That's 7-1.
Is it 7-1? Okay, so I did break the perfect game.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, 7-1. Okay, so
the comeback. You perfectly jinxed it and then broke it up. Yes, that's correct.
So this one, I think we talked after and we agreed this is worth 5. This one, this episode is worth 5 points. That's, man, it's in my notes.
Celebrating the 90th episode with a 5-pointer. I'll give you, we could do it with 2.
No, we'll no, 2. 1. I'm doing this like a gentleman. I'm doing this like a true.
You gentleman. Just went for 5.
Anchor to the big number, okay, and then work
out. And then go back to the original.
Well, see, I'm trying to get you to 4. I'm trying to land on 4. That's what I'm trying to do. Okay. And this whole sequence was AI. Okay, guys, again, got you again. Freaking in your face. Gah, people just don't understand the power of AI. It's honestly impressive. So this will be worth 1, and we're going to do Saracen from Friday Night Lights. I believe his name is Matt. No, it's something Zach
Matt
Guilford. Zach
Guilford. Matt Saracen in the show.
That's right. He's done other things, obviously. Midnight Mass, most recently, is when I watched him, and he's great in that. He's really, really good in that.
He's not done anything as poorly as throwing a football, I can tell you that.
But do you blame him, or do you blame the director producers? You know?
No, go figure it out.
See, I'm like, I am a tool to be used. And if you put me in a situation, like, example, math, I'm not going to be used well. But if you put me in a different situation, I could be used well. I don't know why they asked him to throw the
out. If you sign a contract and you know you're going to throw a baseball or a football with a camera pointed at you,
yeah,
that's on you. That is on you. No, the director expects you to come to set prepared to not look like a dingus.
Again, I just want to remind everybody that we're living in a timeline and reality where we are watching a kinder, gentler Survivor, which we might talk about here for a second after you want to do Survivor for a second? I forgot that we had a couple things on it, but we're living in a gentler timeline of Survivor because back in my day, back when men were men, I lived in a world where Jeff Probst looked at a contestant and said, after watching him throw and missing by like 15 feet, said, wow, I can tell your dad didn't play catch with you when you were a kid. That's like back in the day when Simon Cowell would just like obliterate people on American Idol, you know? I'm not saying it was good. I'm not saying I want that, but I'd say it's memorable. I do remember it, you know, a lot. You told off air that you had listened to the first Jeff Probst podcast episodes. I have not. What's your take on it?
It's awesome. It's very, very good. It's not a recap. They brought in, Bruce, this is a spoiler to the first couple episodes. We are not spoiling this week's episode, but
that's right.
Bruce had to go home, medical situation.
Yeah, head injury, Bruce.
And they brought Bruce onto the podcast and talked about what happened. It's very behind the scenes. It's not to date. It's not recappy. There's a producer on there that started as, I don't remember what the actual name was, but in the art department, basically making the things. This is planned out X, Y, and Z in advance. I've not read all of these things over the years. I've not read a Survivor book. So for me, that's started with what, season 41? Mm-hmm. This has been, it's been pretty fascinating to hear the behind the scenes and then testing out the games and building the games and stuff like that. So it's been fun from that regard. I'm only, the preview 2-minute thing and then 2 in.
That's a fascinating because I assumed it was going to be a recap episode, even though everyone said it's not going to be a recap episode. But I appreciate it because I remember I used to listen to, I want to say, a Breaking Bad podcast after the episodes that it wasn't a recap, but it was kind of like, here's how we made this episode. And it
was it with
so
Vince?
Fascinating. Yeah, it was Vince and like one of the lead editors and something else. I thought this is such a smart way to approach it instead of two blowhards like talking about what happened. So I'm going to give that a shot and give it a listen.
Are we the blowhards?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. 100%. Fair.
Just I'm enough sure. for two if you don't want to be opted into that. But I can certainly occupy that space. But like you said, so three have aired. I've watched three. You've watched two. I'm not trying to shame you. That's just what it is. So we're not talking
true.
About three.
We talked about this before. This
we
is
did.
All above
we
board.
We did. And this is not AI. This is actually us. Or is it? Interesting. You'll have to find out. stay tuned for the end.
Is that our AI transition noise?
That's what a robot thinks a human thinking
that
sounds like.
That is not going to catch on. I can tell you that.
you'd mentioned having some feelings about the birdcage aspect of this season. Are you a pro or negative on the birdcage?
Absolute pro.
Absolute pro as well. It's so
good. I am for the birdcage. And they got so lucky because of Carolyn, because they got to oh boy.
You can do it. You can do it, AI.
Juxtapose. Juxtapose. This is not a bit. So, I can't get the middle one.
Deep breathe.
Juxtapose.
You're too in it. You got to zoom out and you can find it. I believe in you.
I'm not doing ASMR deep breathing on the mic. They got to jux it. Can we do that?
Yep. You can do it. You can do it.
They were able to. And I have a question about this.
Uh-huh.
Do you believe that the Survivor editing is pure to chronological leading up to each tribal council? Not. I know they jump around in a day, you know, this
you
actually
like contained
happened.
Within the episode, like the events of the episode.
Yes, but only based off of tribal council to tribal council, because there is a solid chance that it made the episode more compelling that two different teams, I don't remember if the third one did or not, two different teams opened up. Yeah. All three have opened up the birdcage.
Mm-hmm.
One did it and everyone knew about it, and two did it. And that was on the second episode. And the way that it was handled by Carolyn is completely different than the way it was handled by Firefighter Guy.
Yeah, Danny.
Or Danny. Because Carolyn, sloppy, hung it back up and locked it, but it was clearly had been messed with.
Sure.
And there was no weight on it, right? NASA guy, Carson, figured that out immediately. Which, by the way, Carson's interacting with people on Twitter. It's actually been pretty interesting, not giving away any spoilers, but saying, like, giving some background on what happened. So that's been pretty cool to follow as well, if you're a Survivor fan. And then Danny hung it back up, and it looks like nothing had happened at all. And I don't think that could have been planned by Survivor, but I am curious if both of those happened because Danny hasn't told anybody yet. That could have happened on a different day, and then they just got to make a great episode out of it. But that would be really interesting if that happened from tribal council to tribal council.
Okay. See, I hadn't really thought about it like that, but you raise a good point. And I think, especially when we are three tribe divided, and like one tribe might just not go to tribal council for a while, I feel like they get really generous with what they take and then when they deploy it. And I think I'm good with that just because I need you to tell me a story. All I'm asking is like, tell me a cohesive story, make everything seem earned. And again, whoever wins, I don't want to be like blindsided by like, what? That doesn't actually make any sense. This is not a spoiler for the third episode, but there's a lot of birdcage adjacent action and conversation to your point. And I think that is, you know, the larger aspect of what we're talking about is, I think that's what separates Survivor from the rest of reality TV is, they are so good at, they try new things. Sometimes it doesn't work, like with the time glass thing.
Hourglass?
Yes, hourglass. Some people call it time glass, probably, you know, equal 50-50, I would say.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, exactly.
Hand-eye coordination.
But they are great at tossing something out, not knowing how it's going to play out, and just letting it be an experiment, because different people will access things in different ways. As you were watching, like this birdcage thing is such a fast, because a couple things that happened in the third episode, I told my kids, like, I would have never even thought to do that, but it's such a smart thing to do in relation to it, you know? And I think that in a show where there's so much equalization of information and perspective and context and strategy, those are the things that you can put in a game and no one's prepared for. That's when the good players rise up to the top, or just it's the variability that makes things happen, you know? So I'm so glad that they've done that.
Like with Carolyn with her birdcage.
Yeah.
Everybody was together except for Carolyn, and none of them thought it was Carolyn.
It's just so fascinating because it's how you assess people, you judge them, you underestimate, you overestimate. But yeah, you're really going to like the third episode then, because they make some editing choices that I think are very, it feels at first you're like, hey, wait a minute. But then there's a specific reason why they do it. And there's a lot of conversation around that freaking birdcage. And there's also a lot of like, you know, around the fire conversation that I always really enjoy. You know, it gives you the texture and the personality of each contestant. And I feel like it's been missing that for a while now. So great things season, for the season
so far.
I'm loving it. I think there is, I won't say who, maybe we'll talk about this next week, but I think there's one player who after the third episode is far and away, it's got to be the favorite. And this person has to be doing the best job on the season, at least to me, in my estimation so far. So I'm interested to see if you land on the same place. Okay, let's go back to the aforementioned Matt Searson, Zach Guilford, I think Guilford, whatever, on Cameo. Cameo closest pin worth 1 point. Okay, I've got mine. I am guessing $125 and $5,000 for business.
$101,000.
Zach Guilford. I don't know why I was putting a U in there. Zach is, first of all, he's got great hair. Really great hair. He's got a very like Colorado, you know, I'm just kind of backpacking across the state vibe to him in these. He is available for $57.
Yes.
And $1,000.
Yes.
Very affordable. Very affordable. Does that clinch it? Does that clinch it for you?
Wait, do you have to get the first thing exactly right? No.
No, you don't.
You just have to win the first and then you have an opportunity at the business.
Congratulations.
That 10 was, to 1.
That was one of those, you know, like the old school Warriors when like they had their team, but they would just get run off the floor by like 40. And it was like, this was never even close. That's what it felt like. Like I just got ran off the floor, you know?
Bam.
Honestly,
would have been nice to have been a 10 to 0. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to say that now.
I'm going to spin zone you and be like, this is kind of a little disappointing, honestly, because you could have just shut me out. And like, if you hadn't slipped up a couple weeks ago,
this, you know what it feels like? When your boy Tom Brady couldn't beat the Giants for the perfect season. That's what it feels like to me.
Wow. I don't think I have any comeback. I think I just got humiliated and then I just think I got like the bad memories resurrected. And I don't think I deserve to have a comeback. You know, I think well done, well played. Good job by you. That's all I can say.
Fresh start next week.
Fresh start. Thank God. Oh my gosh. I got to bring it next time. Okay, that's it for this episode of the Over-Under Achievers. Before we go, please remember to follow the show on Twitter at OU Achievers and on Instagram at Over-Under Achievers. Also, if you want to spread the word about the show, 5-star ratings and reviews are great. But if you want to tell people you know and you love that you love this podcast, that's the best way to help us. As always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.